The grace of the Lord be with you. Welcome every one of you to worship today. We're so glad to see you. Invite you to sign the Friendship Register, the booklet you'll find the inside aisle of your pew, and pass it down. Make sure everyone gets a chance to sign it. Happy Father's Day to all of you fathers who are here, especially if you have maybe a child or children with you today in worship. Hope that you enjoy your celebration today. Take note of the announcements in your bulletin. Notice that worship time, our 10 o'clock worship will begin in 2 weeks on July the 1st. We'll also feed you that day immediately following worship, have a hot dog lunch. So make sure you make plans to be here for that special day. Notice that Vacation Bible School is coming up soon. It'll be starting a week from tomorrow. So volunteers, it says there's a meeting in the parlor after worship. There's really not a meeting. They just want you to come by and get your T-shirt. And I told Julie that if I tell you that it's not a meeting, maybe you'll come. So just immediately after worship, go by the parlor and pick up your T-shirt for the leaders. Our youth are very busy this summer. They have a Mission Mania, a mission project. So youth come to the church at 9 o'clock this Tuesday, and then on Thursday morning, our middle school youth will be leaving for Massanutta, the middle school conference, and you'll also see in your bulletin that we have three youth, Ryan, McNeil, and Lauren, that will be starting at Massanutta camp as counselors or enablers tomorrow and be there for 2 weeks. So let's be in prayer, especially for them as well. Speaking of Vacation Bible School, if you have children in your home, in your neighborhood, among friends, whatever, please, we want them to come to Vacation Bible School. You can register in advance. That would be a help. Registration forms are available in the office. Or if you just come that night, and if you haven't registered yet, you can still come that Monday night and start. So we'd love to see you a week from tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Look with me at the prayer concerns in your bulletin. I want to mention Nicole McGinnis, Libby and Ben Crabtree's friend. She actually bought their house in Morehead City, and they moved here. She has thyroid cancer, so be in prayer for her after having survived a brain tumor. So be in special prayers for her. Claire Melvin is with us today, doing great, so we're thankful for that, but just continue to pray for her full recovery. Want to ask you to be in prayer for several families who have lost loved ones recently. You'll see on the other side of the page from the prayer concerns, Elmer Shoresman. You might remember Elmer and Dottie Shoresman. They were residents at Cedar Ridge and are still members of our church, but just got word this past week. They moved from here, by the way, to go to Kentucky to be near their son, and got word from him this week that Elmer had passed away. Elmer just loved coming to church here, Elmer and Dottie both. And Elmer, he was in his 90s, and he had a practice of setting his alarm every morning at 5:35. You might want to try this. Set your alarm at 5:35, and then when the alarm went off, he'd get up and do 100 push-ups before a little snack, before breakfast. And it just so happened his health had been failing, and he hadn't been doing well over the past week or so. And then his family was gathered with him, and then he passed away at 5:35 in the morning. So it's just interesting. But be in prayer for Dottie. Her address is in the directory, and I'm sure she'd love to get a card from you if you would want to do that, to let her know you'll be praying for her. Also, last week, I invited you to pray for Ruth Linville, Paul Browning's aunt, and she passed away this past week. So be in prayer for Paul's family during this time of loss. The service was yesterday. Also, last week, I asked you to pray for Richard and Betty Cox. Richard plays the trumpet many Sundays for us, and they're residents at Brookwood. And he actually had to leave last Sunday to take care of her. And then she took a turn for the worse this past week. And then just got word just a few minutes ago that she passed away. So be in prayer for Richard Cox and for that whole family. They have had a rough time this week, and just pray for comfort for all of them. There will be a service here in Witness to the Resurrection for Betty, probably on Saturday, but don't know all the details yet. Then want to give a couple of praises as well. Brand new baby, Tucker Dixon, born to Ashton and Casey Dixon, new great-grandson of Bill and Jan Snell, so we give thanks for Tucker. And also we've been praying for Gianna, Jan's sister's great-granddaughter. She did have her heart cath, and that showed good results, so we're thankful for that as well. Are there any other praises or prayer requests that you'd like to mention this morning? Let me invite you then, as you're able, to stand together, and we'll join our voices in the call to worship. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. The Lord reigns forever. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that we can come together in this place, a place where we can feel your presence and your love, where we can share it with one another, and where we can worship you and recognize that indeed you are the best thing in our life, the best thought we ever have. You are the one who gives us life. You are the one who sustains us. Through all the challenges of life, you are the one that we give praise and honor to this day through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Let us honestly confess our sin before the Lord using the prayer of confession you'll find in your bulletin. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have given us all that we need and much, much more, but that has not stopped us from asking you for more and sometimes even taking something that does not belong to us. In your wonderful mercy, forgive us for all the ways in which we steal from each other. Renew our hearts so that we are more satisfied with what you have already given us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Scripture tells us God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Listen to those words again, because you're going to see them enacted during the children's sermon, okay? God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Jesus Christ. So, Christian friends, accept the good news. Believe it. Our sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Invite now all the children to come forward for the children's sermon. As they're coming, greet someone maybe you haven't spoken to yet. Let them know you're glad to see them today. Okay, you're all sitting down. You're all comfortable? Well, you're going to have to get up. Everybody stand up. Follow me. We're going to walk up here so you can see what I'm doing up here, okay? So be careful on the steps there. Hold on to something if you need to. I want you to, here, you can gather around the table. If you need to tie your shoes, you can do that. That's okay. All right. You want to step forward where you can see the table? Okay. Now, I've got how many jars up here?
Three.
Okay. Now, they have something written on them for everybody out here to see, but I'll turn it around for you to see. This one says sin. It's kind of dark. This one says us. It's clear, right? Not dark like the other one. And this one says Christ, and it's clear, too. It's kind of like an experiment. We're going to see how this works now, okay? Let's start. Now, what is the dark one? Sin, okay. We're going to pour sin into, I've already told them what it is, so I'll turn lights. Okay, so we're going to pour sin. Now, what happens to us? We're all sinners, and so what happens to us? It turns dark just like this, right? Because we are all, you have to overlook that. But that's because we're all sinners. If I kept pouring and didn't have as much in there, it would get darker. Okay. So that reminds us that we are all sinners. But Christ came to be one of us. Did Jesus sin? No, Jesus didn't sin. So, when we pour sin into Christ, what do you think it'll look like that?
Yeah.
What happened? Both of them were clear to start with, but when I pour sin into us, it shows that we are dark with sin. See? But when I pour sin into Christ, it's still just as clear because Christ never sinned. Yeah. Then let's try something else. Which one is this? Let's pour Christ into us and see what happens. When we are all sinners, we've all done wrong. But if we ask Jesus to forgive us, he will forgive us. See what happened? The dark one turned clear. Because, watch out. Because Jesus forgives us when we ask him to forgive us. Now, let's try pouring Christ into sin. Sin is bad. You think Christ can overcome the sin? Look, it turned that clear too. Isn't that amazing? Well, it's just a very good secret that I have, you know? But just remember, the sin was dark, but Jesus overcame the sin, and he forgives us of all our sins so that our sin can be washed away and be clear, just like Christ. Right? You think you smell something? I don't know. You can try it at home and see if it works. But remember, what's the main point? The main point is that Jesus takes away our sin. Okay? I'll give you a little hint. I don't want you to drink any of this. Okay?
That is
all right? Did you get to see that? All right. Let's have a prayer, okay? Jesus, thank you so much that you love us and you're willing to forgive our sin and wash us clean. Thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Did you like that? Okay. You can be careful on the steps now. Here, you want to jump? I'll help you jump. Jump! There you go. Now you can head up to children's church. The secret to how I did that? I'm not going to tell you either. Let's look in our Bibles at 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll be reading verses 5 and 6. We have been looking at principles, the Peter principles in 1 Peter. We come today to number 17. We only have a few left. We'll get to 20. There'll be a total of 20, but today, number 17, be humble. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse 5. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because, and here he quotes from Proverbs chapter 3, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble and oppressed. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, this is not a Father's Day sermon, this idea of being humble, humility. Although, I will tell you that probably nothing in my life has humbled me more than being a father. Being a parent tests you in ways that you never dreamed of, and it continues to. It has a great way of shining. The way I look at it is like a giant spotlight that gets shined right on my weaknesses. They are for everybody in my family to see. But what is humility? If you were going to define humility, how would you define it? As I thought about that, it's actually a hard word to define. It's kind of a hard concept to get a grasp on. D.L. Moody, the evangelist, used to pray, "Lord, make me humble, but don't let me know it." Get the point? Or as the old saying goes, it's hard to be humble when you're as great as I am. Heard people say that. Well, humility, I mean, first, maybe we should think of what it's not, because many times we get confused. Humility is not thinking lowly of yourself. You know, I have known plenty of people who have low self-esteem, but that is not the same as humility. Humility is also not thinking only of others. I've known people who have taken that to such an extreme that they're not able to take care of their own needs because they're always doing. Now, doing for others is a great thing, but if you take that to an extreme, that's not humility. I think in a sense, humility is seeing yourself for who you really are. And you need God's help to do that. It comes from an understanding of God's grace that everything that I have in my life is a temporary gift from God. And so humility is something that we as Christians are called to have, called to be. But why should we be humble? Well, if you look back at these two verses, I think you'll find there are four reasons why we need to be humble. First, in the first part of verse 5, he says, "In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders." First, we need to be humble because others know better than I do. Other people know better than I do. Now, we've talked about the words to the elders in verses 1 through 4 of this chapter, and we saw that he was talking about not necessarily just the oldest members of the church, but the leaders in the church. It's true sometimes that younger people have trouble seeing the value of the wisdom of experience. They think that old people are just out of touch and don't understand how things are today. You know how I know that? One way, I used to be a younger person myself, and that's what I thought. And secondly, I have a younger person living at my house that reminds me of that. But listen to what he says. "You who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders." Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like that word, submit. Now, if you tell me to do something that I wanted to do anyway, then that's okay. I like that. But if you tell me to do something that I don't really want to do, and then I have to do it anyway, that I do not like. I don't like really submitting to anyone. But the Christian life is a life of submission, ultimately of submission to God. God, what is your will and way in my life? Not just what do I want to do, but God, how do you want me to do this? And then submission to others. Submission, you know, in the marriage relationship, the New Testament talks about submitting to each other. In all kinds of other relationships, submitting. Doing not just what I want to do, but what others tell me is best. Humility, in other words, is being open to the possibility that other people just might know better than I do. Know better than I do? How could that be? Know better how to drive? Know better how to cook? Know better how to complete that form on the computer? Know how to put that thing together without the instructions? Yes, humble people are open to the possibility that somebody else just might know better than they do. And realize, no one knows everything. I know some people act like it, but no one knows everything except God. And we are not God. And we have to remind ourselves of that every now and then. Let me give you an exercise right now, okay? I want you to try to think of three people, three specific people. Think of their names, think of their faces, what they look like. Three people who are wiser than you, okay? Take a moment. Think of three people who are wiser than you. And if you're having trouble doing that, you have failed the humility test. In one of Billy Graham's later interviews in life, he said this: "There are so many things that I was so sure of when I was younger that now I have changed my mind and am not so sure of. But then there is one thing I'm even more sure of than ever, and that's the reality of God and His plan for my home in heaven." You know, sometimes we do start out so sure of certain things, and then we have life experiences that teach us lessons, and we need to grow and change and realize that other people sometimes know better than we do, and we ought to listen to them. We ought to submit to them. Second reason to be humble, last part of verse 5. "All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another." Why should I be humble? Because it's the only way to serve others. It's the only way to serve others. This phrase he uses, "clothe yourself," is a special word that refers to the apron that slaves wore. What image from the gospel comes to your mind when I mention a servant or slave? Ultimately, Jesus. Remember, the night before he died, he was having a meal with his disciples. He got up from that meal. What did he do? He took off his outer clothing. He wrapped a towel around his waist and began to wash the disciples' feet to take on the task of a slave, a servant. And he washed all of their feet, even Judas, who that very night was going to betray him. Now that took great humility. And if the Son of God can clothe himself with humility, how much more should we lowly creatures be able to do that? I've often said how thankful I am for what the people in this church, what you do to make the ministry of this church possible, especially those of you who do things without any fanfare and without seeking any praise. And we have a number of people in this church like that, and I'm thankful for you. I can remember the church that I grew up in. It was a Baptist church, and they had the tradition of time to time in the church people giving testimonies. Now, if you don't know what that is, people would get up and testify about how great God is and what God had done in their life. But I can remember one person in particular who, every time we had a time of testimony, she would stand and list all the great things she had done for the church recently. She misunderstood what testifying was about. Testifying is supposed to be talking about God, not about ourselves. Remember what Jesus said? "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." Think about Peter. Do you think he understood the need to clothe himself in humility? Think about Peter's story in the Gospels. He's the one who blurted out to the disciples, "Lord, even if all these others forsake you, I never will. I'll lay down my life for you." Is that what happened? No, on that fateful night, he said three times that he didn't even know who Jesus was. Luke tells us that after that third time, the rooster crowed, as Jesus predicted that he would, and then Jesus turned and looked straight at Peter, and Peter went outside and wept bitterly. He took a dose of humility. Have you ever had to swallow a dose of humility? It hurts, doesn't it? Sometimes we have to do that. Paul later wrote, "If you think you are standing firm, be careful, because you might be getting ready to fall." Then look at a third reason why we should be humble in the last part of verse 5. He quotes from Proverbs 3:34 and says, "God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble and oppressed." Why should I be humble? Because it's the only way to be on God's side. It's the only way to be on God's side. Now, it's so easy for us to take sides in a fight. You know, a fight breaks out, or a sporting event breaks out, and we take sides, okay? Even in this world, it seems like there's God's side and the wrong side. But it's easy for me to speak for God. Me, just a human being. "Oh, well, let me tell you what God would say about that. let me tell you who's on God's side and who is not. Isn't that rather presumptuous for us to do, and yet we do that? Reminds me of the story of Abraham Lincoln, who served as president, of course, during the Civil War. Now, I cannot imagine how challenging that was for Abraham Lincoln to serve as president during that terrible time in our country where brothers and cousins were fighting against each other. Once he was asked how it felt to have God on his side, and he replied, "My concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side, for God is always right." Do you want to be on God's side? Well, here's how it works. Let me give you an image that might help you. Think about it's summertime. Maybe you take a hike in the mountains and you come upon a huge waterfall. Ever taken a hike to a waterfall? Isn't that a great experience to see and to experience with your senses, all your senses? Well, go to the waterfall, unless it's too large. Go to the waterfall and stand under the waterfall and just let the water just fall all over you. And then think about, this is how God's grace works. God's grace starts at the highest point, but it flows downward to the lowest point. What did he say in Proverbs? God opposes the proud, but God shows favor to the lowest, the humble and the oppressed. As Jesus put it, as a physician, I came to heal the sick. I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, I may be prone to be proud and not want to admit my faults, but when I do that, I'm actually putting myself on the opposite team of God, putting myself in the opposition against God. What I need to do, what we need to do, is to be humble and to identify with those who are the humble and the oppressed in this world. You see, it's like this. You can put yourself on the side that opposes God. Go ahead and do that. But let me give you a little hint. In the end, God always wins. Okay? So don't forget that. So when you oppose God, that won't work for long, because in the end, God will win. Then there's the fourth reason in verse 6. Notice he says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." Why should I be humble? Because God promises to lift me up. God promises to lift me up. Now, he says, under God's mighty hand. Now, God's mighty hand is a phrase that's used to describe God's mighty acts in the plagues of Egypt. Remember that story? There was a proud and hard-hearted Pharaoh who did not want to let the Israelites go and did not want to let God, the God of Israel, have his way. And yet, that God used his mighty hand to show him that he needed to humble himself before the Lord. And here's the promise. If you lower yourself, God will lift you up. Now, who's the ultimate example of that? It's Jesus Christ. We read in Philippians chapter 2, "In your relationships with one another, have the same attitude of mind that Christ had." What attitude was that? "Who, being in the very nature God," he was nothing less than God himself, "but he did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage." What's the use of having a privilege if you don't use it to help yourself? That's the way we think. Not the way Jesus thought. "Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a human being, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death," and not just any death, even the death on a cross. As low as you could go, that's where Jesus went. Is that the end of his story? No, God lifted him up. "Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Listen, friends, this is something that God calls you to do not just to think about, but to do. Submit yourself, clothe yourself, humble yourself. But it is a command that is hard for all of us to obey. We all fight against humility in our lives. It just does not come naturally. Let me close with a word to fathers, since it's Father's Day. Fathers, I know that your job is tough. You've got a lot of people that you're trying to please, but it all starts with humility. Your job as a father, which, by the way, never ends. I've got plenty of people older than I am that I'll talk about where I am in my stage, and they'll say, oh, you just wait till later on. You know what they say? It doesn't get any better. That's always so encouraging to hear. But, you know, there are all different stages of that relationship, the father, grandfather, great-grandfather relationship. But it takes humility in order to be the kind of father that God has called us to be. And we cannot be humble on our own. We need God's help to help us be the humble leaders that God has called us to be. So let us all remember to clothe ourselves with humility, claiming the promise that indeed God will lift us up. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's time for us now to have a time of prayer together. But before we do that, I thought since this was Father's Day, I wanted to give you an opportunity to think about some ways that you want to thank God for your father. Now, even as we do this, I know that there's some of you that Father's Day is a day of pain for, and I don't want to add to that pain, but I realize that there's some of you that either you didn't have a father, you never knew your father, or maybe your father was a source of evil in your life, and so we will pray for you as well. But for right now, I want to think about those of you who have a father or had a father who meant a lot to you and taught you something that was really important or passed on something to you. Is there something you want to mention right now that you want to give thanks to God for about your father? Anybody? Yes. Treat others as you would have them treat you. Somebody else? His knowledge. So important. I know that he loved me. Wonderful work ethic. Set that by example. Somebody else? Yeah. Yes. That carries on today. Thankful for that. I never knew your dad, but I've heard a lot about him. Thankful for him. Tom? That's important. Very important. Yeah. That's great. Great to remember that about him, that her dad was so humble. Isley? Sorry, I couldn't hear you. He would cry with you. Absolutely. Bama? That's important. All those relationships. Absolutely. I totally agree with you. Glad he's here with you today, too. That even after he was gone, he left that legacy. Yeah. Thankful for that. Service to others. Absolutely. Have a wonderful father. And you do too, McNeil. And you know, not everybody has a dad who does that, so be really thankful for that.
You and all that you do.
Thank you. Well, I asked for it. Okay, now I'm going to really stretch it. Lauren? No telling what she'll say. Lauren, what do you like about your daddy? Can you think of anything that you like about your daddy? That's good. I thought she was going to say, I like it when he takes me out to eat. Because that's. But y'all like that too. Huh? All right, let's join together in prayer then. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you and praise you for every blessing that you give us. And on this day especially, we're thankful for those of us who have fathers who loved us, who brought love into the home and reminded us that we were always loved, who worked hard, who exemplified humility, who loved our mom. Lord, not everybody in here can say that. So for those of us who can, help us not to take that for granted. Be thankful for fathers who love us in that way. And Lord, on this day I do pray for those who are hurting because that's not their story. I pray that you would provide people in their lives that will help in some ways, maybe in just a little way, make up for some of what they lost. I pray for those who are sad today because maybe this is a first Father's Day without a father, or maybe it hasn't been very long and they're still grieving. I pray that you would provide comfort for each of them. Lord, we thank you that when we come before you in humility, that you listen, you care, you respond, and you provide for our needs. Indeed, you lift us up. So I pray that you would lift up every person in need today. Lord, especially we think about those who have lost loved ones recently. And so for the families of Elmer Shoresman, Betty Cox, Ruth Linville, for others, Lord, in need, we pray that you would provide exactly what they need this day. Minister your grace through your Spirit. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior, who taught all of us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Let us now give thanks to God and the gifts that we present to his glory. O Lord, to you we give all glory, honor, and praise for every blessing in our life, whatever it might be. We recognize that ultimately you are the source of every good gift. So, Lord, we give these gifts now as a way of expressing that thanks to you. May you multiply them for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If Jesus, your Savior, had not been willing to humble himself, your sins would not be washed clean like those jars that I showed the children. But because he was willing to humble himself, your sins have been completely washed away through faith in him. So go from this place rejoicing in all the gifts that God has given you and giving God all honor, praise, and glory for every one of them now and forevermore. Amen.